Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Wouldn't you just love to make the changes in your life that you can imagine? But sometimes we find that consciously we just can't get there. And that's why we're doing this show today. Today's guest is clinical psychology and graduate, Our guest today is Dr. David James, a hypnotist, author, and public speaker in Beverly Hills. He's been in the business of helping people connect with their best selves. He has a PhD in clinical psychology and a graduate degrees in theology and spirituality, and is the author of three books on personal transformation, and he is an in-demand speaker and retreat leader. So let me introduce you. I'm sorry for that flub up, but I was just reading it backwards. I had my notes here. Okay, well, let me introduce you to our guest, and we can get started. Good morning, Dr. David James. How are you?
Good morning. I am wonderful, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. I'm glad to have you. Sorry I did that backwards. But anyway, you're here, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So, we're talking today about transformational hypnosis. What exactly is that?
Well, you know, people come to see hypnotherapists for a number of reasons, especially in the United States. The number one reason people come is to stop smoking. The number two reason is because people want to release weight. Then the number three kind of spreads out across the board. It's passing the bar exam, learning to speak in public, having a great relationship, making more money. So, you know, it kind of skews across the board. But number one and number two are, like I said, stop smoking and lose weight. Well, one of the things that's occurred to me after doing this work for as long as I have is that we are not able to make change in one area of our lives without seeing change in other areas of our lives. And so I decided to embrace that. I said, instead of stop smoking cessation, how about if we help you become just a much happier person? Or instead of saying, you know, your goal is to release 30, 40, 50 pounds of weight, how about let's have you in love with the vibrancy of life? Or, you know, if you want to have deep and meaningful relationships, how about, well, let's just not find you just only a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Well, let's have you fall in love with the entire world. So that's the kind of language that I use in transformational hypnotherapy. It moves beyond symptoms. It moves beyond even objectives and goals into realizing how wonderful life is and the power that a positive life brings us.
really like that approach. That makes so much sense to me. You know, I do believe in healing pretty much at the core level, not just symptomatic, but really what's going on underneath of it. So that's really kind of what you do, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you know, it's interesting that the difference between, and I've done both for years, and so I can speak, I think, some authority on this. You know, the difference between psychotherapy and hypnotherapy is that in psychotherapy, we do what they say, we go for cause. And what that is you know, if you have, you know, problems in intimate relationships, you know, we try to kind of follow backwards to, you know, where that problem began, where that became the life script, if you would. We don't go so much for cause as we go for the symptoms. In other words, you know, if I'm on a first date or anticipating a first date, or let's say I'm trying to practice for that bar exam, and I start feeling incredible anxiety, we deal with the anxiety at the symptomatic level much more so than, you know, than at the, when I was in second grade, I got laughed off the stage because I gave a bum speech kind of level. But having said that, again, it's a holistic understanding of the human person that when you make change in one area, change happens in another. So it's really, we use symptoms, if you would, as the doorway to get into the deep self, and that's where the transformation happens, in the deep self.
Okay, I understand. So what's the difference between having a subconscious experience, or, you know, having a hard time recalling a subconscious experience, and a subconscious, something that's really affecting you that you just cannot even get in touch with? What's the difference with that, that only hypnosis would get to?
Well, I don't know that only hypnosis would get to kind of a deeply repressed experience, because psychotherapy has proven over the years that it could do that. But the difference would be is the question of resistance. And I'm sure that you've had these experiences in your own life too, Randy, is that when you want to make a significant change in your life, you know, you have all of your logic of why you want to make that change. You have, you know, your willpower geared up. You have all the analytical reasons why you need to make the change you do. But then when you try to make the change, it's like a wall gets thrown up between you and that change, and you default back to your old way of thinking and behaving. And it's very easy to shame that, you know, to say, you know, dang it, if I just had more willpower, or if I just had a stronger sense of myself. Well, that's not the issue anyway. And we'll talk a little bit later in the show perhaps about how the subconscious mind works, and that the whole logic and willpower piece is only 7% of the mind's power, that it's the life scripts and it's the messages that we tell ourselves, which are 93%. So when you come to the place where you realize that anytime you want to make a significant change, that you're going to experience what we call homeostasis, a return to kind of the way things were, kind of to a default setting, that's just a normal and natural kind of sometimes biological function of bringing you back to what is known and what is perceived to be safe, even though safe may not be good, you understand. But we do that, you know. So the smoker says, okay, I'm going to have these last 7 cigarettes tonight, and tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm done. And so they wake up in the morning having slept fitfully all night long, and they find another pack that they had stashed somewhere in the baby's changing table or, you know, something, and they have a smoke, and they say, oh, okay, tomorrow, I'll start tomorrow. Well, it's because change hasn't happened at the deep subconscious level, and logic and willpower alone won't do it. So how we deal with resistance in our lives, like you said, it's an automatic defensive system, is going to relate in large part how we deal with change. And that's where hypnosis comes in very effectively and powerfully, because I've often said that in psychotherapy, you know, we dismantle that wall one brick at a time and kind of seeing what's behind it, and in hypnotherapy we just jump over it and deal with symptoms and use the symptom as the portal to the deep change we want to make.
Now, once you've dealt with it at the deep change level, are there lifestyle changes that should occur to continue that, or once it's gone, is it gone?
Well, it's kind of a two-part question, I think, or two-part answer. on the one hand, lifestyle changes have to happen. You know, if you want to release 50 pounds of weight, and by the way, let me just brief excursus here why I'm using the term weight release instead of weight loss. The subconscious mind thinks in symbols and in feelings and is very literal and takes us very literally at what we think. And so let me ask you a question, Randy. If you lose your keys, what's the first thing you want to do?
Find them.
You want to find, exactly. If you lose your checkbook, the first thing you want to do is find it. And so if you lose weight, the subconscious says, oh, my God, we've lost 50 pounds. We better find it. And so, yeah. So in the hypnotherapeutic world, we talk a lot about releasing weight. Because, you know, if you want to release the pencil, you know, you drop the pencil to the floor. If you want to release a watermelon, you know, you drop it to the ground and open it up and you eat it or whatever it is. But, so that's your original question. When you deal with circumstances like releasing weight, there's going to be no amount of hypnotherapy that I can do for you, no matter how profound and apt I am as a therapist, that I cannot go in and flip a switch that's going to relate to how you relate to food if you continue to have 3 double egg McMuffins for breakfast and 5 Big Macs for lunch and, you know, an all-you-can-eat Golden Corral kind of experience for dinner. So there does have to be some lifestyle change, absolutely. But what we do in hypnotherapy is we deal with the level of motivation and life script, the story we tell ourselves. And so I recently have undergone a great weight release myself. I've lost 52 pounds since August.
That's great.
But it's meant having a whole new relationship to food and a whole new relationship of how I eat. And so last night I went out with a friend for dinner, and we had the best time. And I had, you know, salmon and broccoli and, you know, very kind of but the point of the meal was to be with my friend and to talk about the exciting things we're doing with the Kauai retreat coming up next year and the videos and the movies we're making together. And that became the focus, whereas in the past, for me, the focus on the food was how much can I shovel into my mouth to kind of stuff other things away and to not feel. So, yeah, on the one hand, there needs to be lifestyle change. You know, if you want to be, you know, a successful public speaker, you have to get on the stage and speak. You can't do it from the backyard, you know, with your YouTube video only. So, yeah, lifestyle changes, absolutely. But more than that, you know, we go in and we realign the motivations and the relationships to the issues around the lifestyle change, which allow that to happen with a greater sense of power and effectiveness.
Okay. So it's a little bit easier. It's not as much of a struggle. So in other words, if you have hypnosis to release weight, will the cravings still be there? Will you still desire it in the same way?
You will desire it, and cravings will be there for a while. Because, again, the subconscious mind operates under the law of repetition. And if for 38, 42 years, you've woken up in the morning and the first thing you've had is a cigarette, or the first thing you've had is biscuits and gravy, or the first thing you've had is an impulse to get out and shop and you've fulfilled that. You know, if you've had these things, you've made pretty deep grooves in your neural net, so to speak, kind of mixing some metaphors here. And so through the process of change and transformation, we allow those neural nets to atrophy, if you would, and we replace them with life-giving and affirming experiences and beliefs. And while, you know, it's the whole use it or lose it principle, that while, you know, you continually activate the I need the first cigarette in the morning or I need the 15th cigarette by lunch activation, if you can let that go, then it dies out. And instead, if you replace it with this morning, it's great to take a nice full breath of oxygenated, enriched, powerful air and do some yoga and hug my kids and get them ready for school and realize that I don't need that poison in my body, then that becomes the default. So the more that we strengthen what we want, the less that what we don't want goes away. Because, again, that's another, I don't want to say odd, but it's just another function of the mind, is that you get what you pay attention to. And so if I'm stopping smoking, I don't like smoking, I hate smoking. Well, what do you think about? You think about smoking the whole time. So we do the flip, right? So we do the flip about, you know, how wonderful fresh air is, how my bank account, you know, increases exponentially, because I'm not spending $5 to $8 a day on a pack of cigarettes. You know, so you focus, you get what you focus on. So we focus on positive, life-affirming, changing, empowering beliefs, and the old die away. So I had a person come to the office today and said, "Can I stop smoking today?" I said, "Sure." I thought to myself, I don't think you will, but because she'd been a lifelong smoker, like she started at 13, like most people in America, I'm sad to say, starts when they're 13 or 14, and she's in her 50s now. But she was very motivated, and I've seen people stop with one session, you know, because they have, you know, life-threatening surgeries in a couple of days. The doctors said they have to be clear. They can't have anything in their lungs. And so, you know, nicotine stays for 3 days, and then it's gone. And so she felt much better after the session. And, you know, we agreed on a stop smoking date of 2 weeks from now, and I gave her some homework and, you know, some emotional work to do. And she's so motivated, I believe we'll get there. But like I said, it's not because we're focusing on stop smoking. It's because we're focusing on having the life that you want.
Now, hypnosis only works if you allow it to work, right? You cannot hypnotize somebody against their will, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there used to be kind of the theory that about 15% of the population was unhypnotizable. Well, Stanford University did some brain studies around hypnosis, and what they discovered is it's closer to 3% of people who cannot be hypnotized, and usually it's because the function between their executive parts of the brain, that which kind of catalog and organize experience, and their amygdala, they don't have a connection that's quite so strong. But the rest of us fall in this 97% continuum. You know, there are some people who are either resistant because, you know, they've heard all the horror stories of hypnosis stage shows, that they're afraid they're going to have to be barking like a dog or taking their clothes off in the subway, you know, or anything like that. So they have fear around it. And they take some work getting in, but it's mostly just helping kind of educate and realign their understanding. And then you have people, all you have to do is say, you know, you're getting sleepy, and they drop to the chair and they're out, you know, because life is all about continuum. So. But it's true. You know, if somebody says, you know, I cannot be hypnotized, I say you're absolutely right. Because as long as you're convinced you can't, you're absolutely right. But the minute you think it might be a possibility and you're willing to experience deep relaxation and focused attention, which is primarily what hypnosis is, if you're willing to be absorbed in the moment like a good movie, which is primarily what hypnosis is, then you can have a wonderful experience, or we can make some big change for you.
Now, what exactly is the process of hypnosis? What exactly are you doing?
Hypnosis, as I said, is deep relaxation and focused attention.
Okay.
And so the first thing I do is I understand how you process information. We call it suggestibility. And by that I mean, again, in the hypnotherapy world, there's two types of people, not men and women or introverts or extroverts, but they are people who are physically suggestible or intellectually suggestible. And what I mean by that is that the intellectually suggestible person is the person for whom going to their head is their first response to everything in life. They're the computer programmers, they're the physicians, they are the engineers, and this is kind of a really broad brush, but for the sake of the explanation, they're the people who, you know, are all zeros and ones, and they're the people who, like I said, their default setting is to thinking about the problem. And
okay.
We often joke that the longest journey for people like this is not from Fort Lauderdale to Beverly Hills, but it's the synthesis from their head to their heart, because, you know, they can be so disconnected from feeling that, you know, they may be in the middle of crisis and they're still trying to, quote-unquote, figure it out.
Yes.
Then on the other side of suggestibility, you have the feelers. They're the people who are so connected to their bodies. You know, they're so affectionate, you know, that when they feel like somebody has rejected them, they actually hurt in their bodies. They actually feel a broken heart. They're the poets. They're the painters. They're the musicians, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're the people that live out of that side. Now, truth be told, of course, we are all both, right? We all have capacities for, you know, deep analytical, you know, ability and deep feeling. But the reality is we do tend to have a default where we lean into one way of coming at the world or another. So, you know, that's what we do. The first thing is I understand, or try to understand, through some testing, and it's just simply, you know, testing the ways that you respond to questions or the ways that you respond to instructions in the office with deep breaths and various things. I need to and want to understand how you process information so I can find the best way to put you into trance, because the person that is a feeler, you know, again, all I have to do is have to breathe in and out and think of their favorite place in the world, and all of a sudden they're not in the room anymore. They're in Cabo San Lucas or something, you know. Putting them in trance is going to be a very different way than somebody who has to understand each and every bit of, well, was this breath enough or that breath enough, or do I feel tingling, and why do I feel tingling in my fingers, and why is my body temperature changing, and am I losing control? You know, so it's just a matter of simply kind of helping people relax deeply. And so from that point then, once I understand how you process information, then you go into what I call my happy chair. It's a recliner. And we just start to relax together. You know, we start focusing on breath and out. Simple breath. We don't have to have any kind of guru breath going on or any kind of special mantra breath or anything like that. It's just a matter of simple breath in and out, and experience a sense of relaxation as you listen to my voice, allowing any outside noise to become like white noise and brings you back to my voice, because my voice then moves into your ears, into your mind and heart, and you begin to experience a sense of deep relaxation and focused attention. And so from that point then, we begin to relax the body systematically. You know, we have images that we can do, that we can have ways to start, maybe with your toes and your insteps and your ankles starting to feel very relaxed, and imagining muscles softening as your calves relax and your knees relax. You know, and we work our way up the body so that you begin to feel a sense of relaxation in every part of your body, because as you relax, the subconscious mind opens. And so once you're kind of deeply relaxed and very attentive to what we're doing and the way that we're doing it, then we might take a meditative kind of journey, a guided journey into the forest to find something that you've been missing. Or maybe if weight release is your issue, you know, we look in a mirror, and when you look in the mirror, you see yourself slender and vibrant and attractive and active. And we start using the symbolic mind to to make the kinds of changes you want. And then we offer suggestions to the subconscious mind. You know, this week, as you begin to think about smoking the next cigarette, you get a little sick to your stomach. Or this week, when you sit down to eat with your family, all of a sudden you realize for the first time that you're more interested in hearing what the kids have to say at the table than the food in front of you. And, or, you know, or this week, you know, as you're going on that first date, you don't worry about things so much going wrong. You actually catch yourself having a great time, and you reinforce with a simple breath in and out, I'm having a great time, and you let anxiety go. And so you kind of put those kinds of suggestions in the introductory sessions, and then you bring them out of state, and everybody's happy. You know, we work with deep gratitude. They come back feeling loved. They feel respected, and they feel like changes in the process of being made. So that's kind of a session in a two-minute kind of excursive.
Okay. All right. That's really interesting. I work with people a lot with people who have boundary issues, and just because they've never learned them, it was never demonstrated to them, and they have to, as an adult, figure out how to create boundaries in their life. If someone doesn't have something like that, doesn't possess kind of a life skill like that, Can they be helped through hypnosis to develop those things?
Oh, absolutely. I have a motto that one of these days I'll get around to putting on my website, my business card or something, that whatever the mind creates, it can recreate. Whatever the mind creates, it can recreate. And developing boundaries and effective and healthy ways of caring for yourself in the face of toxic or aggressive relationships is only a skill. I mean, it's not some existential, you know, DNA readjustment that we have to do. It's not like we, you know, get saline solution and we put it in an IV drip and then goes the boundary. You know, boundaries are not formed, or they're formed imperfectly, because in very early childhood, people that were authorities, who had power over us, that had strength over us, demolished our emerging sense of boundaries, because they needed us to be far more at their service of their ego and their narcissism and their pain. And so we never learned. But, you know, I'm blessed. I have 6 grandkids, all the way from 1-year-old up to 16 years old. Well, my 1-year-old, Lola, is almost ready to walk. She started on her knees and her hands, crawling like babies do. And now she's doing what we call the spider walk. She's up on her tippy toes and on her hands, and she's roaming around, and she's starting to stand, you know, unassisted. She pulls herself up on the table, and she stands, and then she drops to her bottom, you know. But, you know, never once when she stands and drops to her bottom do her parents kick her in her bottom and say, "Bad girl." You know, instead, you know, they say, "Oh, baby, good girl, look at you standing here. You're such a good girl." Well, what's happening, of course, is she's learning, you know, as her brain develops, you know, motor balance and the ability to, you know, and so as she's starting to take her first steps, you know, we positively reinforce it. Well, the same thing happened in regards to boundaries here, is that if as a child you start to say, "No, I don't want that," or "No, I don't like that," and you're smacked down and you're smacked down and you're smacked down enough, either physically or emotionally by your family or religious system or political, you know, world that you live in, you say, "Okay, enough, I'm just going to submit." So life skills can be learned, and developing boundaries is a life skill. And so in hypnosis, we actually get into a parts dialogue. We talk with the part of the childhood that did not have the ability to defend themselves. And we work on helping that part of the child in our subconscious mind understand what boundaries look and feel like and how they're safe and good. And sometimes we do energy work around actually doing like a Jedi shield around us. And you know, so we use the symbolic as well as the rational to teach a skill, and that's what it is, and then reinforce it that they can trust themselves, the client can trust themselves to establish and maintain and delight in boundaries. You know, and there's always going to be, like you said, you're going to drop to your bottom again, or you're going to take the first step and you're going to fall. And so we just come at it, because again, with hypnosis, it's the law of repetition. For 35 or 45 or 55 years, the client has been told you cannot have boundaries, you know, and so that's a very strong neural groove, so to speak. And what we do is establish new and reinforce it, and we reinforce it and reinforce it. We celebrate it and we energize it, and we use, you know, the language that makes sense. And so that's a very long answer to a very short question. Yes, boundaries can be learned and reinforced in hypnosis.
Okay, that's great. Now, what's the difference between reinforcing them on a conscious level and reinforcing them on a subconscious level? Because if someone learns these life skills, is it just maybe a shorter path learning them on a subconscious level?
Well, I think there's more to it than that, Randy. And because again, the subconscious mind is the place where 93% of our mind power exists. It's where our habits and our life scripts and our patterns are. And so you can have all the best intentions of the conscious mind, the 7% mind, of the logic, the reason, the analysis, the decision-making, the willpower, those kind of skills. But unless you change the subconscious pattern, the conscious effort is always going to be limited. And so, example, a piano has 88 keys. If you use your subconscious mind, you can use all 10 fingers and make beautiful music, whereas if you use only the conscious mind, the 7% mind, you have one finger, and you can play a pretty little tune with one finger on a piano, but it's not going to be with the depth and passion and vibrancy and beauty of 10 fingers and using how to use the sustain pedals. And so, it's always, because you see, the mind always defaults to the strongest feeling, the strongest impression. And so you can be telling your conscious mind, okay, I have boundaries and nobody's going to, come into my safe spaces anymore. But then, somebody with that very strong energy comes up and that activates childhood trauma or childhood memory or childhood default setting of, I better roll over. Then no matter how much you have the conscious desire to establish the boundary and to hold the fort, as it were, against it, your default patterns, where all of your energy and all of your emotions and all of your feelings are going to activate, and you're going to have a very difficult time. So hypnosis is about changing the essential default setting to allow the kinds of changes that you want to make consciously have the power to be able to do that.
That's very exciting. It really is. It's really exciting to know that that there are practitioners and hypnotists like you who can actually help people cut to the core of their issues in really such a wonderful way, because it is done in a relaxing environment and it's not so hard, because a lot of times changing patterns in life is just such a struggle, and this just seems to be such a nice, easy way to do it. We're about 30 minutes into the hour, and I'm sure there's something that maybe we haven't talked about that you feel is very important. So I'm going to let you bring that up.
Well, it's interesting, because the things that I'm so passionate about are the things that we're talking about already, and so your skill as an interviewer is showing itself here. But one of the things that I just am so convinced is that we are multidimensional beings. We've heard a lot about, the kind of the trinity of mind, body, spirit, and one of the things that I am seeing in my practice, because I have the great fortune to be part of a medical practice here in Beverly Hills. I work with a psychiatrist, I work with an internal medicine doctor, and I work with a pain management specialist. And we treat people holistically, that they are just as likely, these doctors, to say, instead of writing a prescription for Xanax, to go see Dr. David, have 3 or 4 sessions with him, and then if you need the meds, come back. And so we are seeing incredible mind-body changes happening in people's bodies. I have a client who was diagnosed with ALS, with Lou Gehrig's disease, and she came to me in a wheelchair. She came to me for depression because hypnosis is very effective and powerful in helping people with anxieties and depressions. I experienced relief from that. And so she came to me for that. And I said, I had just finished doing some work with Dr. Joe Dispenza, who wrote the book You Are the Placebo, in which he, over hundreds of pages, catalogs story after story about people who use the power of their mind to change their body. They heal themselves spontaneously from cancers or MS or lifetime addictions or other irritable bowel syndrome, fibromyalgia. It's there one day and it's gone the next, and they're not using medicine, they're using the power of the mind. So I kind of ran this by her, and I said, do you want to play a little bit with me? I want to work with your symptoms a little bit, And I said, let's call it play. Let's not make it too serious, because if it's serious, then we have to be serious about serious issues. And anxiety comes up because we're serious, and if it doesn't work, then we're getting even more serious. I said, let's play a little bit here. And thank God she was able to do that. She had that kind of personality. So we started working on visualizing, restoring neural sheathing, myelinar sheathing in her neural system, and experiencing muscles having strength and vibrancy that she didn't have before. Well, anyway, she came to me in a wheelchair, unable to walk. Well, now she's walking using a walker, and the goal next week is to move her up to a cane. So I am seeing incredible, what we would call in another context, miraculous physical changes taking place with some of my clients because they are learning to use the power of their subconscious mind to actually reverse symptoms in their body, reverse catastrophic illness, reverse debilitating. I have one man who has a pain syndrome who has been in terrible pain since he's 11 years old, and he is now in his very early 50s, and his body is so deformed from pain. You know, his hands are deformed, and he was on mind-blowing amounts of narcotics just to get through the day. We've worked now for 6 weeks, and he used to live at a 10 on the pain scale. He's down to 3. He has cut all of his pain medicines in half. He sleeps the night through for the first time in his entire life. His anxiety level has dropped. So I guess, you know, I'm excited to see people stop smoking. I'm excited to see people releasing weight. I'm excited to see people. I mean, I have one client who is a Hollywood producer who complained to me that he got tired of crummy paychecks. And given the system of how royalties were paid in Hollywood, he would get a check for $300,000 for the quarter, and he thought that was abysmal, and he couldn't stand it. And I said, God bless you. And I said, what's a good paycheck look like? He said, $3 million. And so we started working, and last quarter he got a $3 million paycheck from the studio. So I'm excited to see that kind of stuff, because I love seeing my clients be happy people and accomplishing their dreams. But I have to tell you, I love living in the realm of miracles with these people that are in extreme pain or deep depression or OCD. I mean, so that's kind of my passion is seeing global universal change happening as people are discovering the power of the mind.
I can definitely see that. I mean, that's got to be the best feeling in the world for someone who is, you have a healing nature, and mm-hmm. you know, anyone that goes into these kind of fields is there because they care and they want to heal people. And the best thing that can happen is that people actually do get healed. So I think that's wonderful. We're talking with Dr. David James, a hypnotist, author, and public speaker in Beverly Hills, California. And do you have a website that people can go to contact you?
I do. It's easy. It's davidjameshypnosis.com. One word, davidjameshypnosis.com.
Okay.
And
that's
there,
really
and there they can, yeah, and there they can scroll down and subscribe. It's one of those two-part Infusionsoft subscribing processes, and then get my weekly emails, newsletters. I released a study yesterday in very understandable language about how all over Europe, people are using hypnosis for open brain surgeries and reducing breast tumors. And so I do that. You know, I release little tidbits throughout the week. But by going to the website and subscribing to the newsletter, you know, and they get special offers. A colleague and I are going to do a Transform Your Life retreat in Kauai next July. And so the opportunities to learn more about coming to the beautiful island of Kauai and experiencing a life-changing week with Natalia Zublo and one of my hypnotherapy colleagues and myself. We're going to do ritual experiences like drumming and fire ceremonies, and we're going to do storytelling, and we're going to do body-centered therapies, we're going to do hypnotherapy. And so it's going to be really a multimodality kind of experience for people who want an introduction to this work. Well, like the portal to all of that is subscribing to the website at davidjameshypnosis.com. And I keep telling people it's a two-part thing with infusion. You get the first email, then you have to confirm it. If you don't confirm it, you don't get in. So please feel free to join davidjameshypnosis.com.
That's great. Now, so I know obviously you do this in Beverly Hills, California. Do you ever do it remotely Is that possible?
I do. Matter of fact, as soon as we're done here, I'm signing on to Skype, and I have a client in London. I work with people in Dubai and Athens and Paris.
Okay.
I have two clients. I've not done much work with them lately because they're doing so well, but I have two in Manhattan and one in Brooklyn. So Skype is a wonderful way for people who can't drive to Beverly Hills to do that. And like I said, it's affordable, and it's an easy way to begin that process.
Okay. Wow, that's really, really good to know. do you mind if I give out your email address?
Oh, it's good. It's all part of the plan. Please.
So it's the same thing, davidjameshypnosis@gmail.com. So if you have any questions, you can always call Dr. David James and ask him your questions. But this has been so fascinating. I just love learning about all this. I think this is such an interesting topic. I would love to experience it. Actually, I did. Someone tried to regress me, someone who supposedly
mm-hmm.
was an expert in regression, and I just didn't regress. But I don't know mm-hmm. that I'm not able to be hypnotized. I'm not really sure, so I would be willing to try it again. But it's all wonderful. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and I wish you well. You have any more books coming out?
Well, yeah, my book, Discover Your Magnificent Mind, is being published by Hay House, I think, in November, maybe by December. We're pushing them for holiday gift giving, but it's coming out soon. It's called Discover Your Magnificent Mind, Finding Your Way to Wealth, Prosperity, Happiness, and Healing. So that's by Hay House, coming out, Discover Your Magnificent Mind.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Thanks again. I appreciate you being my guest today. It's been wonderful, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So we are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions, you can always email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author and life issues counselor Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.